Everyone, today is April 20th, 2017. Welcome to the House Committee on Human Services and Housing. I wanted to try something different today that I have not done in my committee, and I have not been through in any of the other committees that I sit on. And it's just to take a pause and a reflection about what we just did in the first half before we turn to Senate bills. We won't have as many Senate bills, and they've been pretty thoroughly worked over, so our load will be a lot lighter. And part of what I consider our load to be is to make sure that the enormous amount of time that advocates have put into these bills and those who that we ended up passing, that we're able to explain that to other people as these go forward through the fiscal process. And we also know that we have big budget challenges, and so when we pass things, it might be because we think that these are all ideas that are worthy of support. But if there is a winnowing process, which there will be, there, you know, it's an opportunity for us to discuss and remember where we were on them, and if there's any kind of message that we want to give over to the sub, you know, I will be counting on my vice chairs to help me with that messaging. So today I just wanted to take a pause before we kind of forget what we passed and briefly go through the bills so that you can remember what they are and talk about a few of the lenses that we might want to put on them as we kind of, you know, in whatever way you'd like to indicate strong support for certain bills, whether you want to say it here, whether at some point you want to engage in the subcommittee on health and human services, whether you want to let your vice chair know in whatever way. You know, I'm hoping that you really think hard about the task that the speaker gave us, which is don't just pass bills, you know, just provide some kind of indication to the sub of what are the things that are really important to you. So some of that will happen organically. Some of it will happen probably in the form of myself and my vice chairs possibly making a presentation to the subcommittee. All of this is to be determined, but just wanted to have a chance to pause and go over the bills. So what I think one thing to look at, and this will be on OLIS, I'm not sure it is yet, Cassie put, and for those who are in the audience there, I'll just kind of hold up a graph so you know what I'm talking about. Cassie put together a sheet that talks about how many bills we had, how many we heard and voted on, and how many were moved. So 105 were assigned to our committee. We heard 70 of them. We acted on 62 of them. Two of those I wouldn't really count because they were bills that were referred to our committee that really needed to be re-referred. They didn't belong in our committee. But we actually voted on 60 of them and sent them on to some other committee, which meant we felt they were worthy of further consideration. Four of those, you may remember, went on to Ag and Natural Resources. And I am not exactly sure what happened. I think that the historic home ones passed. And I think there was some question about whether the Senate was going to pass because they were happening on both sides, or the House. And I'm not entirely sure what happened to the other three. Does anyone know? Okay, so I've not tracked that as carefully, but we then moved 41 to subsequent committees. What would the difference between, one voted on and then moved to subsequent committees? Some went, some went to the floor. So,
yeah.
41 and 19, 41 went to subsequent committees like Ways and Means or Ag and Natural Resource or JTAX.
Yes.
19 went straight to the floor. The reason that adds up to 60 and not 62 is, again, because two of them were just re-referred. So that's an overall summary. And on the back of that sheet, you'll see the number of bills voted on by topic. So 30 were in housing. 26 were in human services, which is a pretty close cut, actually. Four were task forces, but all four of those task forces had more to do with housing, so we did have more housing bills. If you count those as housing, they're really 34 versus 26. And then two were other, and again, those two were the ones that didn't really belong in our committee. Right. So that's kind of the big picture. And before we kind of go on to the bills, and I've had Cassie divide them into human services and housing, what I had her do was print out the two pages, the two sheets that are the 17 housing bills that have a fiscal on them of some kind or a task force, and the 13 human service bills, because these are the bills that are now in the subcommittees on Ways and Means or JTACs. These would be expenditures, and these are the ones that if our committee is to have any voice, or if you individually are to have any voice, these are the ones that are sitting in the subcommittee now, awaiting the next step. So before we go on to those, is there any question about the overall, or any comment about overall? Any feedback from you as chair? We heard too many, we heard too few. Just about right, balance.
Not enough time, but
not enough time to more thoroughly examine all the bills that we had, or you wish we had heard more time to hear more?
Probably both, but I was thinking just the bills that we had. It would have been nice to have more time on those.
Yep.
Comparing to 2015 session, mm-hmm. where we met 3 days a week,
right.
That felt more real or more doable.
Yeah.
It felt tight.
Yep. I agree. I think if other people agree, I'm going to put in a request for 3 days a week in the future. Because I liked last time how we were able to let Fridays go when we didn't need them, but we had them scheduled. Mm-hmm. So
that's right.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. So do you all have the housing tax bill, the housing bills in front of you? A list of the housing bills? It says on top housing, joint ways and means, JTAX bills. I am going to say, I've been trying to give this some thought about some of the lenses that I think, that I use when I think about how do I place importance on some bills. And I would love other people to throw them out, but I'll just start with a few. Some of the things that I look at in terms of prioritizing what should get money. One is whether it leverages other funds, whether we can put in a framework there that can be used then to draw in private grants. So I think about the mental health housing bill that you're a chief sponsor of, where the state puts in very, and I co-chief it with you, but I think you're the lead probably. The state puts in a little bit of money to have a framework and make sure that there's a clear process with MOUs and things like that, and then says if we put any money, if we put 20%, you have to find the other 80%. I think it was a 4-to-1 match. So I think of leverage as important. There's a tension between supporting and enhancing ongoing programs that are already in place, versus wanting to try new models. And I'm torn on that one. I think we need new models in a time of incredible scarcity. I hate to do new models at the expense of eroding what we have in place, and maybe there's less financial resources needed when you can just enhance something as opposed to start something new. But there's a lot of new programs that I love, so I say that with a heavy heart. In housing, I think preservation rises to a high level for me overall, because I think of it as a cost-effective, which is a value that I look at here. Keeping, and when you think about supply, preservation is a lot cheaper than building new. And there's also an enormous social cost when people are displaced, so being able to keep people, the cohesion of keeping them in community. So cost-effectiveness and hitting multiple goals, both supply but also social cohesion and things like that, are things I think about. Whether many stakeholders have been involved in the process. I think about bills, for instance, from the Affordable Housing Alliance that have had a lot of different stakeholder input from nonprofits, from development, developers, people who deal with the homeless, the renters, homeownership. When bills come to us and they've really been worked on by a task force for a year, I tend to put very high value on that. And then another big question, I think, is whether we want to impact a few more deeply, or whether we want a little bit of money to help a lot of people. Again, I'm torn on this, but those are some of the lenses that I use. And then the last one that I was thinking about as I went over these bills last night was, if we didn't help these people, do they have other recourse? So I think of something like the rent guarantee mm-hmm. program, where if people have been incarcerated, or they had an FED or something like that, if we don't have a program to help kind of clean that up and get them back on track, what happens to those people? Are they on the street? So I think about that. What's the alternative for people if we don't pass this program? So those are some of the lenses that that I use when I think about, these are all programs that we got a majority vote, and in fact, in most cases, got unanimous support. Maybe a few lacked one or possibly two, but they were not, none of these were contentious bills. They all were like good ideas on the table. So any other kind of lenses that you guys want to offer to your colleagues?
Sorry, thank you, Chair Kinigar. Mm-hmm. This actually isn't a lens. I'm just reading through this because there's several different forms that are similar. But I did just notice what I think is an error on one of them as far as House Bill 2401, where it shows a 7-2 vote, and it was actually a 9-0 vote. 2401.
Mm. Is that on the housing?
Joint Ways and Means Bills voted.
The Human Services.
Yeah, Human Services.
Oh, here it is.
2401A.
Trauma-informed, and that was a 9-0.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm looking at it on OLIS to confirm it was 9-0.
Okay.
How did that happen?
Didn't want Nierman and Olson to get a bad rap.
Yeah.
And I think Olson's a sponsor on that, so.
But we have paper. Mine says 9-0 on this sheet.
2401.
Yeah. One sheet lists it as.
I'm using color
401A. Says 9-0.
Sakes.
All right, sorry.
Okay,
completely
good.
Distracted us.
Thank
all.
You. No, that's important. Thank you very much.
There you go.
How did that happen?
Okay. So just for a quick refresher, Cassie, let's just run through them quickly. And if anyone would like to say anything about a bill that we run. That we went through, or if it elicits for you any of those kind of lenses that you think are important that we consider. This is not like we're trying to rank or anything like this. Just a very brief summary of what we did. Okay, so Cassie?
Housing bills?
Yeah, let's start with housing.
House Bill 2002A expands laws regarding preservation of participating properties that are publicly supported.
So is this different from the sheet that you have? Because I have a sunset. At the top.
Oh, I gave you
a different one.
Copy.
Okay.
Second bill, House Bill 2007, requires a city or county to review and decide on applications for certain housing developments.
Well, this just as you go through it, is there anything that anyone are you reading just the housing ones, right?
Yep.
Any comments on the sunset? Anything you want to just say on the record? This is obviously aimed at supply. This is a big supply issue. And I think, what I'll just say about it is this fits into the category of we have a program, we're amending it, tweaking it, trying to make it more flexible, usable. And so I would just say this is a high priority in my view because it's one of those things that meets a lot of the criteria that are in my mind. And had a lot of stakeholder input. Okay. If anyone wants to say anything, feel free to. Okay, keep going, Cassie.
House Bill 2010A establishes a task force on addressing racial disparities in home ownership.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
House Bill 2011A directs Housing and Community Services to administer and study a study to assess disparities in home ownership.
Okay, and this is the only one that actually asks OHCS, I believe, to administer anything. Otherwise, they're all run by other groups.
And
so one of the things we want to take care of is to not load too many things on any one department.
Isn't that those two right
and
there?
So yeah, this is the only one on that.
House Bill 2011 also establishes a task force on housing authority capacity.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's the one that you're talking about. So the task force
does two things for 2011.
2010 is run by a legislative policy committee, mm-hmm. and 2011 is run by Housing Community Services Department. Mm-hmm. So just to clarify for that, because we always want to look when we're doing this to not overload a department with too many task forces.
House Bill 2210A directs Housing and Community Services to develop and implement the Retaining Affordable Rental Housing Program.
Right, so this provides financial assistance to owners of rental housing. Okay. Any comments as we go through? You want to say you love it, it's got to be there, just anything, feel free. Okay.
House Bill 2433 directs OHCS to establish a pilot program developing affordable housing on school district land for low-income seniors. House Bill 2570A directs OHCS to establish the Affordable Home Ownership Grant Program.
So I'll just say one thing here is somewhere in the mix, I really hope that we put some significant resources into home ownership. We're among the lowest in the country, and we've all talked about how home ownership is really important in terms of low-income people being able to build assets, stabilize school communities, and so this is one of a couple different ways to try to get at that. And I certainly hope that we come out of this legislative session doing something to really increase home ownership and be strategic and put some real effort. Yes, Carla.
Do we really? That's right. Do we really think it has a minimal revenue impact?
I don't know why it says that, because this one actually, what they've asked for is $25 million in grants. Is anyone from Housing Community Services here?
I'm going to pull up really quick and take a look at it.
What bill are you talking about?
2570.
This was a grant program, and Habitat for Humanity had come last year, asked for $20 million, went back, shared this concept with stakeholders that expanded the model so that it could be more usable by a variety of different groups that really help with home ownership. And made the request $25 million to be split among many. Manufactured home parks was included in that, so like the CASA model of trying to help manufactured homeowners buy the park would be considered one of the things that could help people have home ownership. And so the grants go to nonprofit organizations that help people.
So that's weird.
That's hard to say.
Yeah. Well, they've asked for $25 million, and obviously Ways and Means could pare it back to whatever would be available.
Rep. Peluso, LRO issued a minimal revenue
okay.
impact.
Thank you.
So I think that they were swamped and didn't always give as specific as with like. All right.
Well, that could be better.
But maybe the grant amounts is what they're saying is a variable.
Yeah,
and they're saying
that could
the
be.
Administration has a minimal.
Yeah, so maybe it's possible. Not a lot to administer it. It's, yeah. Okay.
House Bill 2724 directs OHCS to develop and implement the rent guarantee program.
So, again, fiscal impact, what I recall, is $2 million for this. Both to create, to give money to counties, to create some are doing it on their own because the state used to do this, and this is not a new program, but it's renewing an old program. So the state used to do it, give money to counties. A couple of counties found it so useful that they continue to find county money to do it on their own, but there hasn't been any state money for a while, and it builds the curriculum. For people who have, have barriers in their tenant history that would make it hard for them to rent. And then there's a mitigation fund set up of $2,000 for landlords who accept these certificates of good standing. So if anything goes wrong, if they, ruin the carpet or something and don't pay for that, that there's a recourse. So I'll just say in terms of my lenses, renewing a program, structurally it's in place. The fact that people don't have a recourse if they don't if we don't have anything for them, what do they do? Are they on the streets? And then a landlord partnership. I like the idea of really trying to support landlords who are trying to be a part of problem solving in the community. So for me, it hits some of the criteria that in my mind.
And what bill number was that?
That was 2724.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. One of my favorites.
Okay. House Bill 2741 appropriates money from the general fund for a deposit into the wildfire damage housing relief account.
I like that one.
House Bill 2742A increases the household income limitation for receipt of financial assistance from the wildfire damage housing relief account. And we also added an insurance piece as well to that.
So one of the things that I note in this is that it's a loan. It's a revolving loan fund. So I like the idea of putting some money in it, and it goes out, and then it continually comes back in. That's anything that can have some element of self-sustaining.
Okay. House Bill 2852 extends the sunset for the tax credit for affordable housing lenders and raises the cap to $25 million and establishes a tax credit auction.
Okay. Yeah, big supply bill. One of our few sources of current sources of funding. And we know the program works really well, and I think there's been some ideas to make it even more flexible, usable. A lot of stakeholder input on this. So in my view, it hits a lot of the different criteria to be a high priority. But I don't want to be the only one up here talking. Anyone
sure.
else should feel free to say. Okay.
Okay. House Bill 2912 establishes the Affordable Housing Land Acquisition Revolving Loan Fund Program within Housing and Community Services Department.
Oh, this is the one I thought I was talking about before, the loan fund. Land acquisition, loan fund.
The other
it's
one
like
is
a land
the tax
thing.
Credit thing. Yeah.
Okay.
House Bill 2961 establishes the Homeownership Repair and Rehabilitation Program within Housing and Community Services Department.
Okay, and this gets at preservation
yes.
of existing properties.
Right. Which I think is one of the biggest issues, actually, that especially seniors face, mm-hmm. is not being able to repair homes, their homes that they've, you know, paid out at. All they have to do is taxes or whatever, but repairs are a huge issue.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just really, really important for seniors to be able to stay in their homes.
As one who is needing a new roof, I support that 100%.
There you go.
I think another thing
just
this does, and this struck me as possibly another lens, is that this works with the community action teams that are out there, community action programs that are very kind of ensconced in the community. You might remember we heard from one that came from Columbia County. Mm-hmm. And again, it's an ongoing, well, this is established one. I thought this was appropriating money.
So this establishes home ownership, repair, and rehabilitation.
Well, so
this was a general fund, I mean, for $10 million is what this one was.
Okay. So I think that they are using money that they already have.
There are
CDBG money, and this would establish it at a statewide level to really partner with them, because they were talking about how they do it now, but they can only handle such a small percentage of the requests that they get. But one of the things that I like is that there's a community infrastructure to really help this happen.
House Bill 3155 establishes the Task Force on Use of Surplus Public Lands for Housing.
Yeah, and this was, I think it's being run by DAS, and they have too many task force, and then otherwise AOC, Association of Oregon County, said that they would conduct this if needed. But I think it seems, again, it gets that supply.
House Bill 3357 increases the amount of fees charged and collected by the county clerks to record or file certain real property documents.
So this is not one that is an expenditure, so it's a little bit out of the whole group here. It's the one that's going to revenue, and it's the only place that would actually bring in any additional money.
Because it has no revenue impact.
I believe it's going to revenue.
I don't know why it's going to waste means. I said that at the time. I still don't understand why it's going to waste means. But
yeah,
anyway,
it's going to waste means.
It's not competing with the others for expenditure of dollars.
Yeah.
So I don't see it as either you like having this revenue source or not, but it's not. It's really in a category of its own because it's not competing for general fund dollars, which everything else on this does to some degree. Although task force is very, very, very minimal. We just want to make sure that we don't overload a department with too many. And OHCS only has one out of the four here. Okay.
House Bill 3373 appropriates money to Housing and Community Services, and the Department of Land Conservation and Development to employ two full-time equivalent employees to perform services related to increasing availability of affordable housing.
So planning, value the planning that's needed to really target where we put our resources for supply.
And House Bill 3387A establishes a task force on system development charges and specifies the composition of task force membership.
And this is a legislative committee, not a department.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll re-volunteer to be on that committee.
You volunteer to be on that committee?
I did before, and I'm re-volunteering right now.
Re-volunteering. Thank you for putting that on the record again.
If the speaker's watching.
Yes, can you help get that?
She loves this committee.
Oh, my God. I have two pieces of paper
Rep. Nierman is volunteering to be on that committee.
Can you say it a little louder?
Yeah. Rep. Nierman really, really, really wants to be on that committee. Okay. So anything else as you think back on the housing policy bills of things that lenses that you think the subcommittee should use? Yeah.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Looking through this list, I love all of them. Yeah. But with the release of the budgets this week and the cuts to different departments, it's hard for me to get enthusiastic about anything. Mm-hmm. And I feel kind of, down because I really want to support all of these, but at what expense? We can't even afford to provide the current service levels of some of these other folks and our human, the DHS, Oregon Health.
Yep.
And so as I look at these, my lens is I love them. How are we going to support them? And maybe I think if we can prioritize, one of the things I think we need to do is we're at $1.6 billion, right? And are we going to be at $1.8 after this? So are we going to limit it? Can we look at some of these things so we can try to maybe prioritize, say we want to have a budget of $100 million worth of things we want to support? So, because we also at the same time we do that, we're going to have to figure out if we're going to make these huge cuts, are we even going to be able to do this at all?
Right.
And but I'd like to hopefully enthusiastically and support some number of value, whether it's 100 million, so we have to look through. Well, this is going to cost us 25. This is 10. We all love all these things, and. And then try to support and fight for those things, knowing that we all have a responsibility to figure out how we're going to solve this riddle of not enough funds and needing to provide really, really key programs that are at risk right now, that very grave risk of being,
I agree with you. And I think one of the things that really strikes me as the chair of this committee is when I look at through the budgets, they're based on continuing service level and where some get cut back more than others. But housing has not gotten any money. We've traditionally had about $5 million come out of the general fund for the EHA and SHAP, the Emergency Housing Assistance and State Homeless Program. It's a really minor amount, and we upped that last time around with one-time general money, nothing to be rolled up, but one time because we were in such a housing crisis, and we ended up with $19 million. So it was 10 over in the first biennium, and an additional 9, and even that is not able to get all the people off the streets. But it's done. It's opened up a lot of shelters and helped counties give out rental assistance. So when I look at the overall budget, it pains my heart too to see a lot of the cuts. But I also think. If we here believe that housing is such a fundamental piece of what we need to do in order to have good health and opportunity to have human services, at a home, and educational attainment and those things, when you hear about the Lincoln City School District having 20%, to me, what I personally want to do is really fight for that in the budget. Say we have to you know, of course I'm on the side of wanting to raise more revenue, but even to the extent that we look at the things that there, what would I take from? I could tell you that there's places where I want all of them, but if we can't carve out of this to give to that, so I am going to be a very passionate supporter of advocating for housing funds. And right now we're starting from a place where it's not a continuing service level. Mm-hmm. And so I think this committee, I hope that this committee has gotten excited about some of the ideas on the paper here and makes the point that if we are really at a deficit, if the state has never been investing in affordable housing, other than the affordable housing tax credit and the DAC recording fee and the $5 million from General Assembly, that's it. And we're not going to make progress on educational performance and health and all those other things if we don't start investing as a state. So that's what I feel. That's what I will advocate very strongly for. It doesn't even have a clear sub, to tell you the truth. You know, it's not really part of capital construction. It's not. It doesn't have a home. And only this committee only had a home for policy as of 2 years ago. And so I hope that people have gotten very, you know, have felt very compelled about the need to have housing as a foundation for all the other things that we're trying to attain, and in whatever ways you can, carry that voice. I mean, that is my hope from this committee, because the Human Services sub meets at the same time. We don't have a direct voice. And so my hope is that that my vice chairs, through communication with all of you members, and I will be able to make a strong stand, at least in a big picture sense, about the need to do something on housing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I would agree. I think it's been the theme of our committee work for this session. So if there's a way to sort of package it, because I think maybe even in with the number of bills we have related to housing, there may be some overlaps that we're missing that could merge and do those things. I think what's I share your passion and I appreciate the passion, but I think that might be a way we can maybe limit some dollars. I don't know, because I haven't looked at it that strongly yet, but I think we're on the right path, and I mean you've stated from day one that this is a super high priority, and like I say, I support that, and so it shouldn't come as any surprise what you're telling us.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Human Services. We don't have much time to get through this, but
I think, Madam Chair, if we could stop right here.
Okay.
And
so you have a sense of what we're trying to do by going through. Mm-hmm. I'm going to let everyone disperse and adjourn the meeting, but I think the same thing with Human Services. Is there any other kind of lens that anyone would like to offer as we look through this? Human Service, again, you're going to have to look at this compared to the cuts list on Human Services, and are these things that some of these things that we should absolutely do? It's not just a matter of cut back from where we are, but are some of these things really valuable and should be a part of the budget? What are the things that are just really highest priority in your view? Any other comments before we adjourn?
One last comment. You know, as a social worker, I always look at all of these pieces from that lens of what piece do you have to balance out in every human being? Health, housing, of course, any kind of, you know, investment in personal, you know, self-efficacy and well-being is all of it has to balance out. I think as we look through this, I've looked through it many times, and you know, the housing, a place to lay your head at night is the priority for any human being to be able to wake up in the morning and make the next day work a little bit better. So as I, you know, recognize that that's not something that we have budget for at this moment in time, I still want to encourage people to, you know, to see that and to see the tents that we have on the streets. So, and that's the hardest part, is that we have so many people who are just not making it. And then if we figure out that will then impact our mental health system, which will then impact our correction system, which will then impact lots of other things. We keep, you know, the children that are growing up in the world with a parent who may have ended up incarcerated. All of these things run a big circle. We just have to look at them as one big, huge picture. So,
yeah. So again, when you go through your list, you know, of Human Services, think about what might be totally new programs and maybe should wait a little bit, or totally new and we need this idea right now. I mean, just be thinking about that. You know, how do we build on what we have?
And I just want to put on the record that I really appreciate the work of our vice chairs.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Representative Sanchez has talked to me more than my family has talked to me in the last month. So I appreciate the communication and that work that's happening. So thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Well, with that, we've got more work to do on thinking about how to give messages to the subcommittee. And next week, we'll start turning our attention to Senate Bill. So we're adjourned. Turning our attention to Senate Bill. So we're adjourned.